With the next 15 minutes that I have left, I'll intercede whenever I think I have to, but I'm going to open up the lines for you and John. Go ahead. Have at it.
Okay, let me make a simple point, as I said earlier.
Well, now, you've been talking for a little while.
Can I make a simple point?
Just one or two things, quickly.
Okay, very, very simply. Number one, God can tell time.
Yes, he can.
Jesus Christ
on a lot of different timelines, too.
The time is fulfilled. Nothing was postponed. Nothing was put on hold. It was fulfilled exactly when and as Jesus said it was.
He did say heaven and earth would pass away, but my words would not pass
away.
That there would be a new heaven and there would be a new earth.
Based on the fact that Jesus failed to do what he came to do. That's
why he didn't fail to do anything.
He succeeded.
He's taken us into the new covenant. He's created a way of grace for us. Our sins are forgiven. We can go straight to the Father. We don't need any mediator between God and the individual. We can go straight to him. We can seek truth. The Holy Spirit came to teach us all things. We don't have to be masters at Greek and Hebrew and everything else. We can investigate. We can pull apart the skin and get down into the muscle and dig a little bit deeper. But we also have references to the rapture, that he'll come, the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, speaking of the Feast of Trumpets. A Jew wrote that. A Jew reading that would understand that. From the trumpet sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, they'll be raised imperishable, that we'll all be changed, that we're going to get a glorified body. But here's the thing. It's not doom and gloom. It's good news. A rapture is not something to be afraid of. Someone that's afraid of the Lord coming back, I would have some questions, but I don't see that as something to be afraid of. I think it's a good thing.
He said it would be fulfilled in that generation. Did he lie or tell the truth?
The generation that sees these things.
And they saw every sign.
And it
he
even
was speaking
it,
to his
Hold on, guys. Hold on. I expected to come back, but not this soon. Now, don't step over each other, okay?
Sorry.
All right. Go ahead, Ken.
Again, you know, I'm looking at the Zondervan NIV. It has a deal in notes that could even be put into as a race. But I think that it's important to see into the Bible and not read into the Bible. And none of my teachings have I ever said, here, you know, take what I say and go. I can make a mistake. I can make error. John, I believe that you're capable of it too at sometimes. But I believe the people should be able to study themselves. You know, go to the Word, look at it exactly like you said, and not be concerned that they're inadequate, that they don't have the ability to be able to look at the Scriptures and tell them that when it says we're going to be caught up in the air into the clouds to be with Him, that that's somehow not really, you know, possible and not going to happen. The 666. I mean, we're seeing now that could quite possibly have been 616. Now, as we move closer into that age, more things will be revealed. No Jews really saw a physical Messiah showing up in the way that Messiah did show up, even though now we can look back and we see all of these prophecies that were fulfilled. But we also have John writing Revelation around 96 A.D., and he said he's going to talk about the things that will come, but you've got the temple that was destroyed in 70 A.D.
Well, first of all, if I could respond to a couple of points that you made, Ken. Number one, only modern-day scholars make the false assumption that Revelation was written in the mid-90s. All scholarship in the 19th century and beyond knew and understood from the internal and external evidence that it was written.
All these people have the internet.
Now, I was willing to let you talk. Please allow me.
You got it.
Now, here is the point. John A.T. Robinson, redating the book of the entire Bible, the New Testament, excuse me, every book was written before the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. I can go on list after list, but that's not the point. Here is the simple point. Now, when we start talking about the idea that we shouldn't study, that it's all okay, here's the bottom line. It's not all okay, because if we're going to call ourselves Christians, and we don't have to be experts in Hebrew and Greek, but we have a strong, exhaustive concordance, we can look up every word and see what they say. You see, the Scofield Bible, literally, either the worst scholarship in the world or it's out-and-out fraud, used the word genna and genos and gave the opposite definition, because it never means race. It means the current generation, as you said in Matthew 23. This generation, all of these things shall come upon this generation. Matthew 24, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Why is it so hard for people to not accept the fact that soon, near, and at hand means that today, but when it was written in the first century, it didn't mean that based on people's ideas today?
Ken, are you pondering that?
No. My question is simply that, I mean, as many years as I've done this, I've just recently, maybe over the last year, started hearing a little bit about the preterist. And I think, again, I reinforce, I believe people should study to show themselves approved. I believe that. I encourage it. And I think that that's the only way to a truly successful, powerful life is to have an understanding of Scripture. It's profitable for all kinds of things. You know, we don't need to be single-issue theologians. I mean, we should be able to at least go across the board and look at some other things, too. And 2 Timothy says, keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value.
Well, you both
it only ruins those who listen.
You both believe in a supreme creator, so there's that's something for both of you. But what
he's my brother. We're in the back seat fighting on the way to somewhere.
What you don't believe in is how this is going to end up. And, you know, you can think it's going to end up with fire and brimstone and all that.
No, I believe it's going to end in a new earth, in a perfect state, in a wonderful condition. I look forward. This earth will be here forever. It'll be in a new state, unimpeded by the curse that was brought on it through Adam's treason at the beginning. Our spirits are glorified, but our bodies
well,
not.
Now the earth may be here, but what about us as people?
Sure.
You think
yeah,
we'll still be around?
Again, and perhaps in a glorified state, we'll have a glorified body at that time. Mine's not glorified. Just look at the picture. Our spirits are glorified. Our bodies aren't yet, but they will be. And Messiah is coming. And a lot of times, matter of fact, if we look in one quick question I have about the temple, it's just something that's occurring to me. Hymenaeus. Now, first of all, 2 Timothy 2 was written before the destruction of the temple, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's my understanding, too. And then so my question is, he came in, he said, the day of the Lord has already come, you know, it's already gone, don't worry about anything. You know, almost like the people that said it's okay to go back, you know, go back to work in the second tower, everything's just fine, it's over with, the first tower was all there was. But my question is, why, how did that happen if it was so self-evident that the moment the temple was destroyed, that was it? It was over. There no new covenant, it's just finished, and now, you know, we're just going to wander on, and if the world, you know, gets burned by the sun, I mean, we got the global warming thing, and then we go ahead and we look in Revelation, we see that the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. I mean, we see consistently things of this nature. But why didn't he just say, well, the temple is still there, so obviously Messiah hasn't come? I mean, how could
at
they have been deceived if that was so self-evident?
Okay, very simple. Number one, let's talk about what is called the Hymenaean heresy. Obviously.
And I don't think you're a heretic by any stretch of the
well,
imagination.
Thank you, but I'm saying it's called the Hymenaean heresy.
Correct.
Here's the simple point, okay? Number one, what Paul simply corrected was because they had said that the resurrection had already passed. And Paul simply said, no, it hasn't. And here's why. Because we will not precede those which are dead. In other words, the resurrection had not happened at that point in time, nor would it happen until the old covenantal system had been destroyed. Now, Jesus Christ said emphatically over and over and over again that he would return in the lifetime of his own contemporaries. My question to you, Ken Parsons, is this. Did Jesus return in the lifetime of his contemporaries, or did he lie?
That's where our arguments kind of just fall off the edge. I believe in a 96 year because everything I've ever looked at, except for maybe just a handful of sites with very little evidence, and anybody get on the internet and really research this now, didn't always used to be that way. Man, it was tough back in the early days. Now it's a little bit easier. But that and the fact that Paul, again, it would have been so easy. And the other thing, we keep going back to that he said it was in this. I read it over and over again. That's why I keep saying, you know, read this. Look at it. It's the people that see these things that are happening, not, you know, just the people. He's just not stopping at the temple. There's a whole list of other things, and the people that see this, it's that generation.